It's just a real pleasure to welcome Douglas Vogt, who has a truly uncanny knack for revealing anomalies.
I'd like to give folks just a quick synopsis of what, having gone over all your videos, some of the key takeaways. What I've been able to gather here, you believe that we have a sun that approximately every 12,000 years has what appears to be a micronova, where projectile, like not just plasma, it rains all over our solar system. There's evidence you've found on the moon, you've proven. There's evidence all over this Earth that you've actually uncovered, like an archaeologist or a paleontologist. This seems to resolve unexplained anomalies that current mainstream theories just can't explain. Have you considered the fact that if it were to strike the 12-hour later impact that you referred to, the globules and the rest of the crust that leaves the sun, if it were to strike a different part of the Earth, might it not cause the reversal?
The reversal and the reason why the Earth's rotation occurs has to do with the magnetic field. In video series 4, part F and G.
Yeah, you cover that and resolve more anomalies there, proving why we don't have a solid iron core, right?
Yeah, no, there's like five good reasons why it cannot be. And I'm now beginning to believe the government wanted you to think the wrong thing so you cannot figure out what's really going on. They do know it's a cycle that runs through time. I don't know, I think they're scared that anybody should know this stuff, because the main job of all governments is to control you. But if you find out that this thing's going to happen in 27 and a half years, the exact number of years between the reversals, I found that coded number in 1994 in the Torah. The Torah actually gives an exact month, the day, and the year, and it's dead center for when the next Glassberg cycle is going to be.
And one of the most interesting aspects of your work is the cycle's work, where you bring together the Glassberg cycle and all of the smaller cycles within the major cycles.
By the way, I was also the first one in 2600 years that found the real Mount Sinai. You'll see some of the altars that Moses mentions in Exodus on the website, on Dyhol Foundation's website. You'll see the expeditions, the two or three I've done there.
Okay. We start to see activity within the sun that indicates, my goodness, we're going to likely have a nova next year. And by the way, it's going to hit the northern hemisphere. That will be the brunt of the impact. Could you not perhaps find deep caverns within Peru, very high altitude of Peru, and get deep down in a cavern there and sort of wait this out? Is there any refuge on Earth?
There's a way of figuring out what side of the Earth is going to be facing when the sun novas, and that's... I'm still doing the script for part 5 of series 4, which says there's a hard way and there's an easy way to survive this event. The hard way would be actually building something that resembled a pyramid, because you've got an ocean, the Pacific Ocean, rushing over you if you're here in the Americas. But you want to be within 5, 10, or no more than 15 degrees north or south of the equator, and because that's the first part that's going to melt. The whole Earth is going to be covered with snow for at least 20 or 30 years, and until the sun starts producing enough heat, infrared heat, that'll start melting stuff, and it'll actually give you light as we know it. After the nova, it's skewed really heavily to the ultraviolet, so that doesn't produce really any heat. It just, you know, it just bakes the place, and for good reason, we'll have a thick cloud cover over us, which is going to be dumping snow on us for at least 40 years.
You do realize you've just resolved another one of the greatest riddles and enigmas in Egyptology. I assume that the pyramids were one of the few man-made objects to probably get through at least one or two of these cycles. It's just a hypothesis, but one would notice that on the main pyramid, it's high enough to where the shells were not found. The ocean level did not reach, which would A, shield one from the solar impact, and B, the flood that occurred afterwards.
Well, last time it would have been the Indian Ocean rushing over the thing. They have a legend, the Egyptians, of who built the first pyramid, the big one. And it was that a king had a dream that the world was going to be destroyed, so he built this pyramid to hold all of man's known knowledge. And that was the legend of the Great Pyramid of Giza. And it's probably closer to the truth than what we are taught.
Let's say 28, 30 years from now, whenever we come to the conclusion that we'll have another nova-like event with our sun, we might have 10 billion, 20 billion people on Earth. The numbers are a little disheartening on how you protect the populace. Is there a solution for the bulk of folks?
I wish there was. I believe in telling people the truth, because they've been lied to for so many years and thousands of years that it's about time you at least know the truth and why we're in the position we're in. By the way, we didn't really finish the how to save yourself. One is would be a pyramid. The other one would be a cave if it was made in solid granite or where there's no faults inside the mountain where you're building this cave. It should be at least 2,000 feet up to avoid some of this ocean water rushing all over the place. So something's going to be built either in northern part of Brazil or in Venezuela.
Or Peru, as I mentioned.
Machu Picchu is like 10,000 feet up. Built it up there.
The next obvious thought is Shangri-La, of course, northern India. The Himalayas, a safe haven?
It is. As a geologist, I'll tell you, every place you have a mountain range, you have a fault. Those mountains were created because there's a fault underneath, either a subduction fault or a slip fault that created that mountain range. So you're going to have a lot of shaking. There's no guarantee that your little cave is going to be surviving. And it should have a watertight door or maybe even airtight door to, well, it would be one and the same because of the pressures involved here, especially if the ocean reaches you. I don't think the Atlantic Ocean is going to reach China. It's not that big an ocean, and I don't think it's going to reach it. But I think it's going to have a horrible ice age because the jet stream is going to be in reverse direction. They're going to get clobbered.
Shift gears now to just one more reason why SpaceX, Elon Musk, and the NASA drive to perhaps have a colony on Mars. I mean, clearly Mars is further away from the sun, and that would certainly reduce any shotgun-like crust from the sun. The radiation levels would increase dramatically, perhaps warming the surface of Mars. I'd like your thoughts on Mars as a potential safe haven.
Whoever was living on Mars, whatever society was there, they moved to the next closest planet in that had water and was warm enough. And when the sun novas, supposedly the cosmic rays come a few minutes after you see the light from the sun. So everything on the sun side when it novas is going to get a blast of cosmic rays and gamma rays, which altered the DNA, and that's why you have the creation of new species immediately after a geomagnetic reversal.
Okay, now I do have a question for you. Why we still have such fauna on flat area as Africa, as well as perhaps bison in North America and things of that nature?
The ocean and waters going over the continent at the time of the nova saves the plants.
The fauna, elephants, giraffes. I mean, I can understand how smaller creatures can hide in a cave, but elephants and giraffes, that's an anomaly we've got to resolve.
That's why the Americas lost 57 larger species. All the larger species we lost, they were caught out in the open when the dust shell hit. And
is it possible that on some of these novas, there might not be the pole reversal? And the only reason why I toss this anomaly out there, might that explain why some of the larger fauna that we see in India and Africa have remained there for such an extensive period of time?
It may be because they were housed in caves, and they did find caves in Siberia with a whole bunch of different animals in the cave. They have intuitively gone there. But excellent question. I want to clarify one thing. All stars nova at the exact same time. Remember how I found the clock cycle was I found six blank periods in space where no stars were visible, and four of the six were 12,068 light years apart. The stars are there when they nova. They're all novaing at the exact same time. And the dust shell hides them if they're a small or average-sized star. V838 Monocritus is a really a big star, so we had no problem seeing it when it blew 24,000 years ago. There's only two ways to describe the universe. Either matter is the dominant thing in the universe, which is what we inherited from Aristotle in the church, and the only other way is that its information creates the matter world we're in. What I've done is created a foundation philosophy that everything else would be based on. Just like your matter theory of existence, there's a whole bunch of science that really reached its dead ends based on that foundation philosophy, which I'm here to destroy.
You've also just added further evidence in support of the Dr. Kurt Gödel and all of his incompleteness theorems, Alan Turing's work in incompleteness. Just for our listeners, very quickly here, this is obviously just a brief overview, back of the envelope. If we live in an information-based universe, that proves what many of the physicists and mathematicians of the last century were struggling with, the fact that systems are de facto incomplete. They must have an external governing source.
A lot of big names in physics knew something was wrong with what they were taught and teaching. Many of them flat out said, it looks like the universe is the product of waveforms, or everything is waves. One of my friends who's a PhD in physics, Owen Redcliffe, when he saw my book, he said, you know, Doug, you found the philosophy that the string theorists have been looking for. Basically, what I've discovered and what I explain is it shows that string theory is partially right and partially wrong, and quantum mechanics is partially right and partially wrong. I don't know if eventually they would get to the fact that, yes, the universe is just information. It almost got to that point now, but as far as I can tell, I'm still only the very first person who actually created and explained things as hard as what is light, what is magnetism, what is gravity, which they couldn't do.
Well, I would propose the reason why you've unified the macro with the micro universe at the quantum level, of course, with our universe, the system is based on one that is essentially about forcing the facts to your preconceived theories, instead of building one's theories and hypotheses upon the facts. And I'd propose that's what the Diehold Foundation has done so well here, by just saying, look, let's look at the observations and build our hypotheses around it. You say Aristotelians, should they be preparing for the next 20, 30 years?
No, you live your life. This is a situation where government, big government, is the only way you're going to be able to find a way to survive this thing. And I'll put it into part five of series four, which I'm still doing. I'm hoping to finish it off today and then maybe do the filming tonight or tomorrow and then put it up. It'll be three parts. The first part is going to be the hard way of surviving this thing and what to look out for, and the second part will be the easy way. It's codes and clues that are in Deuteronomy that Moses left. Now, those who are atheists say, wait a minute, religion? You have to look at it differently. You have to look at it like a man who had the technology, access to a technology that was literally tens of millions of years more advanced than us. That's what was in that cave that Abraham bought. And that's what was really going on.
Fast radio bursts. I believe we found holographic information that completely proves everything that you were writing about 40 years ago. It's a message from beyond, and it uses a language. I think you'll find it interesting because it corroborates your theories. He based the Hebrew language, or they based the Hebrew language, on an ancient, extremely advanced civilization.
Back to survival. It's a question of government doing it. And it's going to be an effort that's going to be like the old Manhattan Project during World War II. The only issue is government brave enough, or will they do it and try not to panic the people, or will people just know it because of my videos and others copying me, what I'm saying? My purpose of doing them is basically to make sure somebody survived this thing. This is when a species and man can become extinct. And that's the reason why I'm doing that. I've been trying to tell people the last 42 years. I've been researching this subject for 50 years. Even when I was still in college, I was researching this stuff. Yeah, you have to understand, this is not something a few people or even a couple of thousand people can do to survive it. Maybe drilling caves in, like I said, 10 or 15 degrees north or south of the equator might do it, but not on the Pacific side. You'll just get drowned. There's just no way you can survive it there. Brazil, Venezuela, that area is about the best choice.
Couldn't you seal it like a deep-sea submarine, though?
It's possible people in a sub, if they place themselves around the western Pacific, that Pacific's going to be rushing eastward towards the Americas. Now, I don't know how many hours until it finally goes in the other direction. They get tossed around pretty badly. Tether, that's the ground, going up, 50, 60, 100,000 feet up. Now, when the Earth stops its rotation...
You can't shadow the Earth, in other words?
Hopefully you'll know where to land. There's risk to that. It's better actually being on the planet. Building the right structures, but big.
What about a sealed Earth ship?
Some ships could make it. If they're at least not on the side of the sun that Novus, if they're not on that side, on the ocean, it's possible. But the thing they may wind up finding themselves in the middle of the Gobi Desert.
Do you suppose that the biblical Noah may have actually traversed one of these events?
The idea that a Noah put animals in something on a ship is beginning to look really good. By the way, the reason why they think they found it on Mount Ararat in Turkey, remember how I told you that the Earth rotated then? So the Indian Ocean rushed in a westward direction. Any ships there would have been picked up, and he wound up getting stuck on Mount, how many thousands of feet up they think they found it. But the point is that gives you an idea how high the wave was. I think it was like 5,000 foot up. They think they found the remains of a wooden ship. The only thing you can do, and I've said it on the videos also, tell as many people as you can, but get yourself educated, watch some of the videos to get so you're knowledgeable. If we got 10 to 20% of the American population to know it, then we can get Congress and the Senate to have hearings and force them to say what they know. Because if it's no longer a secret, then there's no point in hiding it any longer. A friend of mine, Ben Davidson, of suspiciousobservers.org, he actually thinks the CIA is trying to release this stuff a piece at a time because they don't want their fingerprints on it, but they want the information out.
And I'd just like to add one quick thing here. Dr. Robert Schock of Boston University, the world-renowned geologist / Egyptologist, has not only confirmed Dr. Vogt's work here today, but he has proposed a parallel theory. He believes it's just plasma that causes these events. And I believe the Diehold Foundation figured it out maybe 20 years ahead of anyone else.
I'm going to do videos on volumes 1, 2, and 3 on decoding the Hebrew scriptures. And you'll at least know why Abraham bought that cave and what Moses did. And you'll actually see the whole Exodus story and everything I found that Moses describes. In other words, he wasn't a fictional character. Fictional characters do not leave physical evidence behind. Simple as that.
Absolutely. And folks, if you haven't seen these videos, bookmark the Diehold Foundation. Try one or two. Try especially the first few, and I promise you'll be as hooked as I am.
Blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver medals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. vault chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold. GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.